Hello, neighbors. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back to Future Neighbor Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel.
I'm your host, Katie.
How are you?
I'm good. Katie, do you want to actually lead this podcast? I always get feedback from your friends that, Daniel, you got to give some more airtime to Katie. So we should do a podcast around Katie.
No.
Not yet.
I mean, it's not yet. I mean, let's just keep it natural.
Okay. So, Katie, you were very enthusiastic and you shared a movie trailer with me. And I thought we could share our reaction to this movie trailer.
Yeah.
With our audience.
Mm. It's not out yet, but it's a movie called Minari. And it kind of depicts the life of a Korean immigrant family moving to the U.S. in the 80s.
Is it the 80s?
Yeah.
Late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah, the movie is set in the 80s. But as soon as I saw the trailer, yeah. I was like, this is going to so, like, touch you so much.
I know.
Because this is so every kind of immigrant family story from Korea.
Yeah, I mean, you showed the trailer to me. And
it took me a while to show you the trailer.
Why?
I mentioned it.
Yeah,
and then you weren't interested.
No, it was not that I wasn't interested. I saw an article about it a long time ago, but I didn't know how honest. Because Steven Yeun, who is, I think, the main character.
Yeah.
I think he's from The Walking Dead. But anyway, I forget which movies he's been in. But
you're not a big fan of him.
No, it's not that I'm a big fan of him. It's just... I don't know. I just didn't think he had the face to portray like what I had in mind.
Oh, okay.
About when I think about my own experience.
Yeah.
Okay.
So because he's too good looking.
No, he's not that good looking. Yeah, I don't think he's that great looking. But he looks a little bit young and like full of energy. I thought like...
Not like a father figure?
Yeah, like I thought there would be more of like a little bit older person and you could see like kind of the grief. And like the weight of time in his face kind of look.
Yeah.
But I guess there's not that many Korean Americans to choose from that have broken into mainstream Hollywood. Because I believe Brad Pitt is the director.
He's not the director. It's his company. Producing company called Plan B. I think produced that film. It was a... big investor in that film.
I see. But either way, I'm sure for this film, they wanted to have like actors that have, you know, proven themselves on the big stage already. And Steven Yeun has done that. So kudos to him. But when you show me the trailer.
Yeah.
I didn't want to speak because I had a lump in my throat. And man, it was that film
really
is going to make me cry.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I just watched the 2-minute trailer, but some of those scenes are so real and so accurate.
Yeah, it just resonates with you.
The little things.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't say anything. I don't want to cry. I don't want to watch a movie and cry. Remember a long time ago I told you like...
But I want to see you cry.
I know you like seeing me cry.
Because you never cry.
Yeah. I think there was like a couple of scenes just in the trailer.
Yeah, it's no spoiler.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen it. It's not out
yet. I think the movie's out in March.
I see.
Yeah, I really want to see it.
I want to see it at home, though. I just want to... If I'm going to cry, I just want the little puddles to come down my cheeks at home. But I know...
So nobody can see you?
Yeah, but on the side, I know you're going to be like, Opa, are you crying? Are you crying? Oh, my God. Let me get my phone. You're crying. And you're gonna ruin the flow of the movie for me. I already know.
So we should watch separately then.
No, I'm gonna put a face mask on and then just let the tears dry into the moisturizing pack. But yeah, I think in one of the trailers, the little kid, he looks at his grandma and, you know, he goes, "Grandma, you smell like Korea."
Yeah.
And I haven't said the exact same thing, but I hear this from my sister when I come from Korea. And last time I took my grandma with me.
Yeah.
And my sister goes, "You know, you guys should take a shower when we're at home." And I was like,
"Oh my gosh, really?"
And she was like, "You guys just have to stink. I think everyone stinks if they've been on a, you know, long flight."
Yeah.
But the way she said it, she's like, "You guys smell like Korea." And then the little kid in this trailer says it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that kind of like struck a nerve. But when my grandma, when I was young, back in the like in the 90s, when my grandparents came to Korea, I mean came to the States to visit my parents, there was these little mini interactions between me and my grandma, I think, that were depicted in that trailer.
Yeah.
You know, like he asks his grandma, I think if I remember, he's like, "Grandma, how come you don't bake cookies?
Yeah.
How come you curse?"
Mm.
Because he's comparing yeah. with an American grandma.
Yeah.
And at that age, it's so important. I wanted to be American so bad. I wanted to be normal because I was growing up in America. And all these things about Korean culture and tradition that I love today and I'm embodied today, that was a source of pain when I first moved to America, right? And so I would go over because I think the setting was maybe Iowa?
Yeah, it was like a farmland.
Yeah, like somewhere in the Midwest. For us, it was North Carolina. And you know, in the trailer, there was like kind of this one white kid, like really young white kid about his age that looks at the young Korean kid too, like very strange. That was exact same thing when we arrived in North Carolina, the only Koreans in an all-white kind of community. And I want to do a post Minari review. I think this movie,
like a video?
No, like just on our podcast.
Okay, yeah.
And I think this movie will strike me much deeper than what was the Parasite? Parasite was fun. I just enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
This one is going to strike me. Yeah.
More on a personal level.
Yeah. And then there's those scenes where the grandma is sleeping on the floor and the young kid is in the bed. You know, the dad is saying like, "I want to succeed to show you that I could do it too." I've had so many nights when my dad would like, well, not so many nights, but very like specific instances in my mind when life got too hard and my dad would like cry like silently on the first floor. Then I'd be upstairs and I'd come down and like,
you saw your dad crying?
Like once or twice, like mental breakdown. Yeah. Grab my hand. He's like, "I can't do this anymore."
Wow.
Like, "I can't do this anymore." And then he would say like, after a while of like, you know, being in his emotions, he'd be like, "But you know, you're the hope for our family. Like you're studying so well. And all this sacrifice, there's like 보람. There's like a reward for all of our sacrifice because you're excelling in studies and you're becoming the American dream for us." Those interactions and those little moments that you see have shaped who I am today.
Mm.
Like why I'm so focused in business.
Yeah.
Or why I'm so focused in one way or the other, this like burning desire for success. It's all shaped by those little late night discussions or me seeing struggle when I was young. And that scene of when they're all the family was just like lying on the floor sleeping together, that brings me back to when we first moved to Southern California. We didn't have enough money for a house, so we stayed in an apartment, right?
Oh, were you sleeping on the floor?
Yeah, because in the summer it would be too hot and we didn't want to turn on air conditioning because we didn't have the money. So we turned on the fan, and since it's cold, we'd all just sleep there.
Oh.
And then, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going really deep in my thoughts right now.
Yeah, I think it's just bringing you back a lot of those old memories too.
And just the amount of joy my mom would get from renting Korean drama. Like, you know, long time ago, if you go...
The DVDs?
No,
like
not
tapes?
They had the VHS tapes.
Yeah, yeah.
And my mom would get like every week, she'd be like, "Daniel, it's Saturday."
Yeah.
Like, "You can do whatever you want." And she would get so much joy from it. She would get like four or five tapes.
Yeah.
And she would put it in. My mom would just be in a state of bliss.
I know what she means.
Yeah. And she would escape from the hardships. And then she would fall asleep on the floor. My dad would, for some dramas, he actually liked it too. They would both fall asleep. I'd be outside riding my bicycle, getting into like trouble, like throwing rocks into places and trying to catch frogs and in the bushes and collecting snails and stuff, but I would always come back home dirty. My parents would be sleeping on the floor. I'd go home, take a shower, call my friends to play StarCraft, fall asleep. And like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I have to watch that movie.
Yeah, the trailer was really good, but I hope the real movie is also just as good, you know?
Yeah. I think you told me something. There was a little bit of controversy around already this movie, right?
So I think this movie was categorized as like an international film or foreign film, something like that, even though it was like all filmed in America and then produced by an American company.
Right.
Because I think, I don't know, maybe it was like X percent of the movie was done in a foreign language because they speak Korean in the film, mixing right. with English.
Right.
So somehow it got categorized as international, but that also has implications for the nominations for all those Academy Awards in America, apparently.
So if you're like nominated in foreign films, then you're not going to be
a candidate
for overall certain, best film.
Yeah, certain categories.
I see. So they're already trying to pigeonhole this.
Yeah, and then the people are like, oh, but this is like, American actors in here, like Steve Yeun is American, and then like American producers.
Yeah.
And
even though there is a criteria, they fit underneath it. Let's say that 50% of the film is in Korean or over 50%. But then there are other films that have done that, like maybe it was Inglourious Basterds or some other big budget Hollywood films that have had most of the dialogue in a foreign language.
Oh, yeah, like other European languages.
Yeah, but they weren't categorized. I don't know what that is all about. Who watches those film show awards anyway? That's done with anyway.
Yeah, it's only part of it. Yeah,
so I'm excited to watch it. Hopefully I don't cry too much. I think the only other film that I really cried in was Armageddon. Have you watched Armageddon? I still remember me crying in Armageddon because I didn't know why I was crying. Because the movie is silly. Like, it's like a typical Hollywood. Remember the asteroid is about to hit the Earth? You didn't see that one?
I just don't remember the story. Yeah, I think it was such a, when I was a child.
Yeah. I just remember I was at the movie theaters and I was with some of my friends and I was just trying so hard not to cry because, you know, my friends would call me out on it. But the scene where Liv Tyler, she's like pushing her hand on the computer screen. And then Bruce Willis, his dad, he like decides to detonate the bomb and let her fiance take the ship back. And they're like hands meet on the screen. I was just like, and I was just like,
so dramatic.
Oh, God. Why does Bruce Willis have to
die? Oh, wow. How old were you then?
Maybe like junior high.
I see.
Yeah, but I just... And then Aerosmith's... I don't want to miss a thing. Sorry, I'm so bad at singing, guys. Aerosmith, I don't want to miss a thing. It was like it was one of the soundtracks, and it was playing in the background in that full Dolby Digital surround sound in the theaters. And I was just like, oh, God, this is so sad. Yeah, and I cry in a few Korean dramas too.
Really? I've never seen you watch a Korean drama.
Yeah, when I was with my mom when I was young.
Oh, okay.
And then there was this one where like this is probably the plot for like a lot of Korean dramas, but the husband, he like cut out his eyes.
What?
And gave it to his wife or his kid for surgery.
Oh. They don't do that. Anymore because it's really old.
Oh, that plot has been played out.
Yeah.
Maybe I watched that. Yeah, and then the dad turned blind, and then his wife, or maybe it was his son or something, has eyes, and they like, you know, they do like a face-to-face comparison shot down, and I was just like, oh my God, why does he have to lose his eyes? So sad. 가시곡인가 or something. Anyway, after that, I vowed that I would never watch Korean drama again. And my mom was like, doesn't it feel good to cry? I told my mom, no, I want to watch movies so I can laugh. And that reasoning is still the same reasoning I have today.
Oh.
That's right. Yeah. That's where I get it from. Yeah.
But what about thrillers? You like thrillers. But thrillers don't make... I like... I think I enjoy thrillers, but during that moment, I get so tensed up. I get so much reaction out of every scene, and I get so tired after the film.
Yeah, but Katie, remember what I was telling you? You watch movies. I think you're the best person to watch a movie with. And I feel so lucky that we can watch movies together because Katie, like, her mind goes into the movie. She is no longer a third person watching a screen.
Yeah, I am.
She is part of the movie. And her reactions are just like, oh, 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 oh.
It's so real. And I get so nervous and like I'm sweating on my palm.
I know. And like half of the times you're underneath a pillow, like a couple of blankets are always like flying in the air. You're underneath it. Then you're like watching through a little crack. Then another like two pillows covering. And I always go, and then sometimes you're watching through the reflection of our glass window here. And then you're so funny. You go, what's happening? What's happening? And I always go, Katie, just watch. And you're like, no, 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 no,
no. No, I'm the unknowing type.
So we recently watched The Invisible Man.
Oh, that movie killed me.
But
oh,
you, so your skills in watching these suspense or scary movie has really gone up.
I know. I'm pushing myself.
Yeah.
I want to expand my genre outside romantic comedies.
Thank you.
But it's really fun. I mean, I like it. I enjoy it. I also enjoy like sci-fi.
Yeah.
And other action films too. But I don't know, because it just takes away so much energy from me. And I know that I'm going to go in 100% once we start the movie.
Yeah.
So it takes a huge commitment.
Yeah. You like fall so much into it. Don't you remember? You like looked at me seriously and you're like, I want to become an actress.
Daniel, you're not supposed to say that.
You were like, I chose the wrong profession. And I was like, Katie, you can... Oh, I think one time I said, no, I think it's past your time. And you were like, you got so angry at me. You're like, how can you say that to me? I still have the time. I was like, okay, then go to then go to acting school and try it out. And you're like, no, I don't want it anymore.
No, because I was thinking like if I could go back to my younger days, like maybe teenagehood, then I think now I want to take a completely different path. Like, I don't want to be a salary worker.
You don't want to be on wage?
I want to take a really, really different route. Like, maybe get into sports and try to become an athlete. You know, like I don't know, ballerina or like
gymnastics.
Gymnastics?
Yeah.
Or just like getting into art.
So you want to go more towards like, the creative.
Yeah, acting or, you know, it could be like painting, but something that's like completely different trajectory to what I'm doing now. Yeah, I think that would be
Do you think you can go through the struggles of financial stress and worry for the love of a craft? Do you think you'd be able to do that? Like you're struggling to make payments every month, but... You love what you're doing so much that justifies that hardship?
I think so. I want to, because I at the same time, I really envy that kind of life because you've put 100% into one thing that you want to make it happen. And I think that alone is so meaningful. Like right now, I feel like I don't really have something that I'm like that passionate about.
Mm. I think,
and then that's like you. That's like the only one thing that's like that's your life is dependent on.
Yeah.
So.
But I you know what though, I really don't like this. Like, find your passion. Like, what are you passionate about? Like, what drives you? Like, I've never been able to answer that question, to be honest.
No, but you have it. You are passionate about making money. And like making business, doing business, that's your passion, right? Because I asked you and then you said if you were to go back or live a second life, you would still get into business and doing entrepreneurship.
I love growing businesses. I love taking an idea and turning it into reality. And I love that aspect of creating, and the business world is so competitive, and that's why I love it.
Yeah. So that's your passion.
I don't know. Something about the word passion, it just seems, in my mind, it's like a fire flame. And I'm never fire flamed on.
Well, that's what you love to do.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like right now my struggle is I don't really know. I can't really pinpoint one thing that I like just love to do.
But I think you're a
generalist. It's so difficult.
I think you're a generalist, meaning that, and I tell you this a lot, that you take a lot of joy in learning new things.
Yeah.
You're like a sponge that soaks up so many experiences. And you like, and that's okay. I think this kind of business world keeps telling everyone that they need to be super specialists.
Yeah.
Like you have to become the best in a very narrow field. But for you, I see you're alive when you learn new things. And it's okay if that moves because, I don't know, you don't have to make a career out of one specific thing. You know, at our at this age, like you can, your hobbies can be wide rather than deep. So you're learning so many new things and so many like different hobbies. Now you're trying to take the ballet.
No. That was just one of those like.
Yeah, but do you? But see, the thing is, you don't see it, but I see the amount of joy. Like Katie came across a YouTube video on the Royal Ballet of
Academy,
London, Academy,
yeah,
or Academy.
They have a YouTube channel and they were just showing like their ballet practice routines.
Yeah.
And I was so intrigued.
Yeah.
Because I did do a little bit of ballet when I was really young.
Uh-huh.
Then I just remember really loving it. And even my mom told me I loved it so much.
Yeah.
But then like I don't remember why, but I stopped. And then looking at that kind of brought me back all those young memories. And I like imagine what if I kept on doing it? Maybe I could have been there too. But I know it just looks so painful and so much like hard work.
Yeah. I think that's something that's really hard with media is that you always see the finished product. You don't see the 20 years or 10,000 hours or 30,000 hours of discomfort, pain in the learning process. You just see the polished result.
Yeah.
So it makes it look easy. If only I just had skinnier legs. If only I was X, Y, and Z.
No, it doesn't look easy, but it just looks so like, so, I don't know, something that like makes you want to do it.
But you know when that happens to me? During the Olympics. Like I'll see, I remember when we were watching the Winter Olympics and we were seeing the curlers.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, man. Oh, man.
Did you imagine yourself?
Yeah, I was like, I was like, curling, that can't be too hard. I just got to line this up. If you gave me 2 years and all I focused on was just curling, I think I can make it into the Olympics. This is why I fool myself because they make it look so easy, right?
Yeah.
Or sometimes when I see like gymnastics, well, actually men's gymnastics, that looks so painful. I don't think that. But or sometimes when I see judo, like men's judo, and they're representing their country, they had the flag on their back, and then they flip a guy, and then you see the amount of like, just the weight lifted off their back, and then they're just exploding in crying or laughter. And I was just like, damn, that looks just amazing.
Yeah, like I wish
I could have done that.
Yeah, that's the thing that I get.
But I wish there was a YouTube channel that played live, just their everyday mundane routine workout that they did for 4 years. And you tell me if you would want to do those 4 years of dieting, working out in the morning, stretching, icing down, repeat at night for that, let's say, 5 minutes of glory. Most people would say no.
Yeah.
But that's why there has to be that YouTube channel or some discussion on those 4 years or the struggle. I guess it goes both ways. If you knew how painful it is, less people would jump in. Right?
Mm.
Like, naive, actually, like, I always talk about doing, like, business too. If you knew how much pain there was in doing a startup, you wouldn't do it. So it's like, it's actually nice to be ignorant. You don't want to know all the facts. You don't want to know all the facts about being a parent.
Yeah.
You want to be naive, thinking, oh, they'll be so cute and it'll be our family. And then you just start and you deal with it, right?
Yeah. If you know too many.
Too much.
Too much, then you probably won't make a start. Yeah. So I've been trying to find what is the next thing that I want to like. Okay. The lost times are lost times, but for the next 10 years,
right.
I want to like find something that I want to get really deep into and be able to like realize the success of it in my like 40s. What would that be?
But Katie, you know how you just said it's like the lost times?
Yeah.
Sorry, I like already in my mind is that you know you're in a position to be able to be comfortable now because you've worked and you've run all this time till now, but you don't see that. Like, you've worked so hard until now that, like, in your studies, in getting a stable job, in building your capabilities, your ability to work in group, to lead people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of these skill sets, that's what you've been doing, building. And now you have the luxury of time and money and mind space to go do other creative things. So don't call it wasted because like it was building the foundation. This was those 4 years of the mundane YouTube that you did. So now is the time for you to enjoy the ripe kimchi. Right? If you take perspective on it, that's the downside of YouTube and all this like media. People are always flexing, showing like, oh, this is my life. But damn, we got to show the chapter 1 and 2 and 30, the nitty gritty, right?
You got to show the behind the scene of Future Neighbor video.
Oh man. Oh man. We should talk about that now. That's really relevant. Even with the Future Neighbor, like I think we lived in a Officetel, which is like a one-person studio.
Yeah.
Very little space. I remember you were asking me like, don't we need to rent space somewhere to do this? And I was like, no, let's just buy a table. Give me a butane gas. Because the room was too small. Like I couldn't show myself properly because my back would be facing the camera because the kitchen wouldn't work out, right? Don't you remember when we're trying to set up camera shots and everything looked horrendous? Even the table after we finished recording, we had to fold it up, place it somewhere and the smell would be so bad. But we had this like goal in mind and we kind of fell in love with what we were doing. It was fun, right?
Yeah.
It was fun. And I didn't care what people thought. Because it was fun for us.
Yeah, it was fun.
And we wanted to teach and we wanted to share. And we kind of had this mission. Let's bring Korean food like to the masses, to the internet in a more approachable way. Let's make it entertaining. Man, I don't know. Our discussion is going more and more towards this life discussion, but it's good. It's good.
No, but I think, don't you think you enjoy more of those times in retrospect than during those times?
Than during the times it gets easier?
Yeah, like what it was fun.
Uh-huh.
But I think it was fun because I'm looking back on those experiences now.
But it wasn't fun during it.
It was fun, but it wasn't as fun as I think of it now. I think.
So our mind tends to make experiences seem more livelier than they were. But you might be right, because remember your mom when we were in Busan?
Yeah.
And at the time when we went to Italy, we also invited Katie's mom.
Yeah. And it was like a 3-people trip. Yeah. It was for my mom's 60th birthday. Exactly. So we took her to Italy and visited like Rome, Venice, and Florence.
Right. And during the trip, the first, your mom was so crabby. Like, she was not in the mood to go vacation.
She was so at unease.
Yeah, she was uneasy because she had so many things at work. Yeah, she was just not in a mode to relax. And there were parts of the trip that were a little bit difficult, especially for me, right?
We were getting emotional. I mean, she was getting very emotional.
Yeah.
Then we had to really watch out and take care of her.
Yeah, like you should tell about the time your mom cried that night because the walking.
Yeah, and but it's so trivial.
And I'll link it back, yeah.
It's such a trivial thing, but I think for the first half of the trip, it was like nine day, ten nights.
Yeah.
Nine nights, 10 days trip. And then for the first half, she was really feeling anxious, like not 100% enjoying.
Yeah.
And then one time when we were in Florence, we were in the somewhere like a little bit far from our house, like our Airbnb. And then we thought that we could like grab a taxi on the way back.
That's true.
We started walking like the main road. And it was getting quite dark. And then we couldn't find any taxis. So we could just kept walking and walking. And then, of course, we were all feeling very tired. And then my mom was walking like really fast alone at the front. And then me and Daniel, we were just walking behind her. And then towards halfway, I went up to my mom. And then I could tell she wasn't in a good mood. And I think it was probably because she was very tired. But then there's nothing she can do, right? We're in a foreign country and there's no taxi. So we just keep walking. And then when we got home, my mom kind of broke down. And then she was like really sad and crying and she wanted to go back. And it was kind of mix of everything. She felt like physically very tired, but she also felt like I wasn't taking care of her enough.
Yeah, she was kind of felt like the third wheel, like we're just having fun. Why did you invite me?
Yeah, like, which wasn't the case at all.
Yeah, we made the trip around her.
Yeah.
Because it was her hwanggap.
But I think
her 60th birthday.
If she felt it that way, then, you know,
there's
like,
there's something messing up. We're messing up somehow.
So, yeah.
But the reason why I bring that up, right, is because that trip was, at times, there's very painful moments, right? But then when we were in Busan like a few weeks ago, we were just having dinner. And your mom was like, so, when this corona stuff gets all fixed, where are we going to next?
I was so surprised.
I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, I mean, like, if I think about it, that trip to Italy, probably the best trip of my life.
Yeah, I was so shocked that she said that.
It was so memorable, right? So, like you were saying, is that sometimes when you're in the midst of even an experience, when you think back on it, you think more positively about it.
I think so.
Right? But, I mean, don't get us wrong. There were some times when I'd never seen your mom so relaxed. Like, we were in the Venice, in the steps at nighttime. We were just having a little bit of, I believe, some wine.
Yeah.
And your mom started to sing these church songs that she learned when your mom actually went to Catholic school when she was young.
Yeah.
And like, Santa Lucia or something like
something
that.
Like,
and I was like, dang, I don't know if she knows she like Italian songs.
Me too. It was like a new side of her that I've never seen.
Yeah, and she was so at ease and she felt finally was able to kind of get out of the stresses of, you know, leading that business she does here. And
it got much better towards the second half of
and
the
she
trip.
She was just enjoying herself and she would always come to me. She's like, aren't you going to take my picture? Oh, one thing that I I'm really proud of is that when we first met, your mom did not like taking pictures. She was like, no.
We're not a picture family.
Yeah, but I would always go to your mom and I go, cheese. And she goes, why you do that? I'll take a picture of you.
Yeah, she really didn't like taking photos.
But then, I don't know, I just kind of like nudging people
a
little bit. That's kind of my personality. So I was like, oh, my name, let's take another picture. And then she got kind of used to it.
Yeah,
and by
she
the
did.
Time we got to Italy,
she
would be like, that scene, that bridge, can you go over there and take a picture for me?
Yeah, I was really surprised.
She bought a little hat for herself, you know?
And then she was posing.
Yeah.
It's like I've never seen her do that.
Yeah, and now she always likes, really like to.
Yeah.
Oh, second achievement. Every time we come up from Busan, I like your parents, like they're not that big into hugging. But in America, I mean, hug is just, you could see your worst enemy and you'll still be like, all right, see ya, little hug. And that's just, you know, I mean, you were in San Francisco for a little bit, right? That's just how everyone greets each other, right? Yeah. So I decided to do that approach as well. And now your mom, every time we leave Busan and we're about to get on the train, she always goes, her arms are wide open. She goes, okay, Daniel.
Aren't you going to hug me?
Yeah, aren't you going to hug me? And her hugs are a little bit tighter now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, long time ago, she was like, oh, what is this? And like the arms don't come around, but now, yeah. Nice, firm.
So, we're not a really huggy family.
Yeah. Now I'm training your brother too. Yeah, might take a little bit longer for him though. But yeah, I like experiences.
Yeah, so I think when we were actually cooking and doing all those videos at the small place,
yeah,
I don't think it was like 100% just fun, because like when I walk in, it's like the whole house smells like soy sauce and like,
yeah,
all my clothes will smell so bad. But then if we open the windows, all the, what you call it, the bayon?
Ah, yeah. Sometimes we were filming, we had the micro dust. It was micro dust season.
Yeah, all the like pollution, because my house was facing right like this 8-lane street.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pollution coming from the cars and also very noisy.
This might confuse people, but I said that we were filming in my room, but Katie actually moved into the same building as me. So Katie had one unit that was 2 floors above me.
Yeah.
And I was 2 floors down.
Yeah.
So then the way that Katie's room was set up, it was better for filming because you could see the kitchen in the background. Mm. So we started filming everything in Katie's room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, this tangent, but every time like me and Katie would get into a fight, Katie would just storm and then just go up 2 flights of stairs and you could just hear her getting like, it was like our own friends. And I'd be like, all right, I'm going to go to my own place. Open the door, go down 2 flights of stairs.
Yeah,
good times.
Yeah, now looking back, it's good times, but it wasn't a good time back then.
But what makes a happy person? A happy person is someone that has a lot of fond memories, right? So maybe it's then, maybe even if those experiences are not so fun or so pleasurable, putting yourself out to have dynamic experiences leads to a happy person, because you can think about those experiences later, right?
Mm.
Based on kind of our logic of what we're saying, right?
Yeah.
And when I was talking with my dad earlier this week, there was this kind of very similar talk that when my dad was talking about kind of what he's fond of, he always talks about a lot of things that were very hard, but he was able to pull through. So I think there's a big value in trying to do difficult things.
That's so true.
Like setting a very difficult goal for yourself.
Yeah.
That you know is not impossible, right? But it's very difficult. And having that difficult goal, it gives you some sort of mission or purpose in life. Maybe purpose in life is not the right way to say it, but it gives you some direction, ability to focus and move in one direction.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to find that.
I think that's maybe what you were saying earlier, yeah, is that you want to find this next, perhaps something that you feel is worth investing your time, and even if it's difficult, worth going through that difficult process.
Yeah, like a challenge, real challenge.
Do you want it to be physical? Like a physical challenge, like climbing? Don't you remember when we climbed the mountain?
No. And more mental, like intellectual. Yeah. So I feel a little bit like void these days.
We'll see what it is. Maybe it's ballet. You said you didn't want physical.
I think I'm too old for the physical. No, ballet. Yeah. Also, I'm not saying ballet is just physical. It's a lot of mental too.
But I could see why you're, I mean, like, you know, you decided to take Japanese all of a sudden. And this is all connected. This is all connected to what we're talking about. You're looking for somewhere, something difficult to really focus down on. And if you master, let's say you mastered like speaking Japanese to some degree, you feel really good, right?
Yeah.
But you still have your other hobbies that you can go really deep into. Or you can keep going horizontally and trying to find other hobbies that could complement.
Or we can try to make an app. We're going to keep saying this until we die.
thinking about app ideas is so 20s. So in my 20s. That's my late 20s. That's all I was thinking about. All right, what's the next app? That's so
2000s. So what is our 2020s?
What's the new thing?
Mm. What's the new thing?
I don't know.
Where to invest?
Who knows? I guess just being healthy and surviving these crazy times. I think mental fortitude. This talk about purpose, it's an important one. And it's going to be a reoccurring one. It's because of Corona. It's amplifying.
I just really don't like the feeling of being stuck in the same place. Same one place.
Well, keep us updated on on what you have focus on. And maybe it could inspire some other people to set, or they could maybe, you know, try out your goal and see if it is interesting enough for them as well.
Yeah. Or if you guys have good advice, you can also help me out.
Yeah.
All right. So I think our topic today was quite heavy. So to end this podcast in a little bit of lighthearted tone.
Yeah. What you got, Katie?
I think you got something. So Daniel told me one time that there are certain words that were forbidden in his house. Certain English words that were forbidden in his house. And I thought they were ridiculous.
I wonder if they would cover this like similar incidents in the Binari movie. But like, my dad hated the word "you guys."
But I could. Why?
I mean, you know why? Because in Korean, you don't ever directly like call out the subject if it's your parents. You would never say
somebody older.
Yeah, you don't. You're not direct. You don't refer to them directly.
Yeah.
To my dad, the word "you," to him, it sounds like you're pointing at him.
Yeah.
And then "guys" sounds very informal to him for some reason. Right?
Yeah.
So when I was growing up, and like, you know, let's say I got into an argument about my parents, I'd be like, "You guys are so unfair," and my dad would be like, "You guys, yeah? You guys, yeah? You guys, yeah? 뭐라고? You guys, yeah?
Then what can you say?
What do you think my reaction is? I'd be like, "Then what am I supposed to call you?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "우리는 너의 부모님이야, 부모님."
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'd be like, "Yeah, but how are you gonna say that in English?" And he would be like, "이거 어떻게 알아, 그거?" Which is, how would I know?
So,
and I would be like, "It's you guys." And he's like, "No, don't you know the word parents?" And I'd be like, "Then you want me to say, you parents?" I was like, "It's just not normal." And he's like,
I don't care.
You listen to what I say. So during that heated conversation, I'd be like, "Well, you parents." And by the time that word came out of my mouth, I forgot what the rest I was going to say. I just... "You parents are so mean. You guys are so mean." You guys just roll off so easily. Yeah.
Can you say "you folks"?
You folks? Oh, man. I hope that made your evening.
Did you ever call them "dude"?
No. "Dude" is just... what would you call your parents then? In English?
Melissa. Called their name, right?
No, you get crucified if you call it by their Korean name.
No, I mean, I thought you were talking about like English families.
like in my context that I'm talking about, what would you refer, like how would you say that? Let's say that your parents,
you, just you,
you are so mean. But there's two people, your mom and your dad, and you want to group them in.
I think there's no other way. You people.
You people?
You humans.
You humans. Yeah. In Korean, 인간들이. Oh my God, that would have been crucified twice. See, that one's tough. Have you had any similar?
The thing is, we don't have to call them in anything in Korean. You could just say, so mean. So that's never like an issue.
You're right. It's the grammatical differences in.
Yeah, we don't have to say Korean you language are.
Versus English. You can still English.
Say, are so mean, for instance.
Did you have any of those incidents growing up? Or were you just an angel?
What do you think?
I think you're an angel. Neighbors, what about you? If you have any of these fun things, let us know in the comment box. Oh, and also, if you enjoy our podcast, go to Apple Podcast or iTunes Store and drop us a comment along with a 5-star. It helps us actually grow our podcast, which we want to do.
Oh.
So we can spend more time on it.
Oh, and then I forgot. We forgot to add in our ads today.
No, this is ads free. This is ad free today.
Oh, so you're in a good mood today.
No, I just got too into my emotions from the beginning. Just thinking about those scenes. I just forgot everything. All right, you guys. I think we'll cut it off there. Have a great workout, a cleanup, whatever you're doing. Washing the kids, washing the dog.
I want to have a dog.
All right, new interest area. No, because if you get sick of the dog, what are you going to do? Are you going to go throw it away or something?
That's why we don't have a dog as of now.
Good call. You know yourself. We're out. Adios. All right.
Thank you for listening.
Bye, you guys.